This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.
Hello folks, you're listening to Story, the community-based show on the community-based station in the community. Brought to you by Sphere 17, this show deals with issues affecting youth in the community. In this edition, we're going to tackle bullying. We'll get talking one-on-one to Ian Power from Spunout.ie and the manager of Sphere 17, Mick Ferran. Later on, we'll have a panel discussion on bullying, and also, we went out and asked for the public's opinion. So brace yourselves as we beat bullying over the head. First up, we join our panel discussion, where we tackle the question of how to help the victims of bullying.
I think one of the big things about bullying is that it seeks out and attacks people who have low self-esteem or low confidence. So I think the most proactive thing we can do as, you know, brothers and sisters and parents and teachers is make sure that our other brothers and sisters, our children, our students, have an outlet in which they can build up confidence about themselves, because it's a formative part of your life. Like, you know, when you're 12 and 13, you're figuring out who you are and what you like and all that jazz. And if somebody's taking the mick out of you for liking something, you take that to heart, like, you know, because you think that that's what you're all about at that age and stuff. I don't know what you guys, your
like,
opinions
in
are.
Our school, they brought in a new thing, like, it's only new this year, and it's like a anti-bullying workshop, but it's only for the first years. Bullying goes on in all years, so it shouldn't just be for the first years.
I suppose they're probably think that,
and we haven't really heard much about it either, so I don't really know what it even is.
The idea probably behind that is if you do it in first year, then they'll keep that knowledge with them throughout sixth year, probably.
But I think it won't exactly harm anyone, just like, you know, to have every year to have a bullying workshop and then
just once
they'll carry that on as well.
Yeah. So the government, basically the Department of Education, should fund people, I think, personally. This is their job, that they go out to schools and do this.
Yeah, if the teachers aren't comfortable, they should bring people in.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because my religion teacher, he spent one class talking about cyberbullying and how it affects people and all, but he gave us, like, guidelines on how to, like, make your Facebook and Twitter accounts and all private, so you don't get strangers and all on your profile. And it actually was good, because, like, you just delete whoever you don't have a clue who you know on Facebook and all. So it was kind of helpful, but, like, I don't think every year got it.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be helpful.
So it needs to be more kind of uniform across the board, that everybody gets the same information.
Yeah.
They should have more stricter ways about, like, if there's bullying going on.
I think that even if you say the word SAP, like, on Facebook, you should just get blocked or something off it. Like,
you should get
Facebook,
like, suspended on it or something. You get your page taken off you for a few days.
So if there's bullying going on in your school, do you think that it's taken seriously? Do you think
I got bullied for 3.5 years in my old school.
Did you tell somebody?
I always used to be getting suspended and all, because I was always in fights with, like, loads of different people for no reason at all. And the guy told me principal, I told me ma, and, like, they were just like, oh, we can't do anything about it, we'll tell them to stop. And, like, I was in fourth year, I was only after going into my new school or whatever, and this girl always used to be in my class, you know, she was a year ahead of me, and she just kept saying I was I robbed our fella and all. I was just like, would you cop on, like, get away from me, I don't even know you, I don't even know who you're running about. When I come in at 10 to 9 in the morning, she'd be there. For a 10-minute break, she'd be there. For my lunchtime, she'd be there. Going home, she'd be there. Because we weren't allowed to leave. You're only out into that classroom, that's it, like, or whatever the class you have. So, and they did nothing, like, and they're like, oh, we're a deadly skill and all, and giving it loads.
But if you could go back now, what would you change about the situation?
Nothing. Like, there's nothing that
there's
could change.
Because
it was like, it wasn't only her, though. Then
I
had other people bullying me. Like, I talked to one person out of my whole class, and that was the only person I talked to, and she was barely ever in, like, because she was getting bullied as well, like, do you know what I mean? And she went to different counselings and all, because she wanted to kill herself over these young ones. Like, you know, that's bad form,
No, I know, But if you could do something, right, so to step into that situation, if you were making the decisions, if you were the person who was in charge, what would you do?
I don't know, I'd have, like, different classes and all, and, like, teachers to actually believe, like, what students are saying. Say I've said, here, I think this is going on, that's going on. Like, get it checked out and make sure that, like, it's not actually affecting other people. Do you know what I mean? It's not,
they should have somebody that's more approachable. Because
like a specialist in
bullying.
Yeah,
like, all the teachers say, like, oh, like, if you have a problem, you can come talk to me or the principal and all. But most of them are just real, like, you try to talk to them and they're like, oh, I'm busy, can you come back?
Okay.
And then you just kind of feel like, I'm feel like I'm talking to the wall. To talk to they don't want to deal with me. I'm just going to leave it. And then even when you do try to talk to them, they're just like, oh, but is there proof? And you're like how am I going to get proof of somebody bullying me?
Yeah.
Or they'll like talk to the person, the person will just deny it. And they can't exactly just start snapping at a person who said there's nothing going on.
So you guys think that it would be a good idea if there was somebody in every school that was basically their job to that like you could feel you could go and approach
every school
them.
Has a guidance counsellor, but I think there should be like an actual counsellor in the school as well.
There is. There is one in every school.
And would you feel comfortable talking to someone like that?
I think
sorry, Shen.
They should have like a time set for every person so that you don't look like a sap going to them on your own. So that everyone has their time and then you can just go and then you can just talk about whatever you want and not even bullying, just whatever. Because then you just feel better about going to school. There's enough things to worry about going to school. You don't want to worry about getting bullied.
Absolutely, yeah.
But would it not? Do you not think it as well make people more of a target for bullies if they attend these things and everybody knows they're going to these bullying things?
Yeah,
you
but
know?
If everyone but
if goes, everyone's going, like
if everyone has to go, I suppose.
Yeah, like I think a bully is someone who's getting bullied.
Was
bullied because they don't take the anger on someone else. Well, if they go to a counsellor and talk about it, they're less likely to take it out on someone else.
That's really true.
I totally agree, because one of the things I wanted to bring up was that we're talking about dealing with the symptoms of it here all the time. We're talking about dealing with it after it's happened rather than looking at ways to remove it from our society altogether. I really feel that there's a culture in our country and other Western European countries, and it's about how we value ourselves, our self-worth, and how we are our image. And because we're setting like almost a numerical value on our different things, how much money we have, what car do you have, we're setting up this kind of hierarchy thing, and that just gives scope for people to want to be higher in a hierarchy in a whatever group than the other people, so they will jostle for power in a group. You know, any group of people that get together, some people want to be the leader and they'll try to dominate the group, and there can be all sorts of little hassles going on with group dynamics. Any group of people sharing any space is going to have hassle unless you put some systems in place around it. And what I'd really like to see is a change of culture in the teaching system of how we measure or what we value as being worthy attributes of people. You know, maths, getting 100% on higher level maths doesn't impress me, but knowing that you're an honest person, I think that's a more valuable thing to have or understand about somebody.
Clearly a large subject area, and we'll have more on it later. Now though, we're talking to John Maloney, education youth worker with Sphere 17. He's going to tell us a bit about what he does.
Well, as education youth worker for Sphere 17, I work in have some input in all the schools in the Dublin 17 and Dublin 13 area with the Donaghy. So schools that young people from the Dublin 17 area would go to. First and foremost, act as an advocate for young people. So say if there's a young person having a bit of difficulty in school, be that with teachers or other young people, they may come to me and I'll approach the school on their behalf. I run a programme called SIPS 3 times a year, which is supporting young people in school. And that's a 3-week intense programme where people come to me instead of school. Young people who maybe are struggling at school for whatever reason come to me, and at the end of that 3 week, in theory, would be able to manage school a bit better.
Would you think bullying would be a big issue in school?
I think it's huge, and I think not just within schools, I think all schools. And I think a lot of schools would say they're doing a lot to combat bullying. I think every school could be doing more. Not just within schools, on the way to school, on the way from school. I think bullying's huge. And I think some people who bully don't even know they're being bullies. I could slag you, Twiggy, over how you walk, how you talk, and you...
Some skinny.
Yeah, you know, two skinny people having a go at each other. But I may be slagging you, and to me it's a bit of a joke. And but to you, this is something that's really serious for you, you know, whether, you know, certainly I big ears still have at school, and you know, in primary school I would have got slagged about mares, in secondary school I didn't mind, you know, but that said, there was days where it would affect me more than others, you know, depending on the mood you're in. But I think bullying's huge. I think some people know they're bullies. And I really feel for young people that are just going to school and are targets, because they're not with the cool lads, they're not muscly and they're not able to fight. We all could be doing more, not just schools, but parents, fellow schoolgoers and young people, youth services. I think we should be more proactive. And I think, unfortunately, Twiggy, it's going to, I believe, something big's going to happen before schools take a real stance against bullying.
And why do you think, like, one set of people, like, would bully another set?
I don't think the answer there is black and white. I don't think there's a... I think some people bully because they're being bullied, so they take it out on others. Do you know what I mean? That kind of domino effect. Some people I've worked with who have bullied, and they do it because of jealousy, because some people have... I don't know, better home lives or do better at school or are more academic, and other young people, they may not know it, but probably jealous about that and therefore target those people or give them a smack or slag them, or I suppose physical bullying where you're actually punching someone. That's serious and that's one thing and whatnot, but the actual slagging and the constant slagging is more damaging to a young person than the a dig. And I've asked school groups this. I've said, which would you rather, a dig or to be slagged? And most of them say a dig, because once you're hit, it's over with. Why people do it, I don't know. All different reasons. But we gotta stop it. We gotta stop it. It's
not
right.
Well, to be honest with you, I think people do it because they're insecure about themselves, like, don't know why.
You think?
Yeah, like, I got bullied in school for 3.5 years until I left. When I stopped talking to all them or whatever, like, didn't go to school with them, they were like all saying, oh yeah, it was because of insecurity or whatever, like, they all just didn't feel good about themselves, so if they bullied someone else, you know, that way they'd try and make themselves feel bigger than what they actually are, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of power, isn't it, Shannon? You know, so you give someone whatever, we all strive to belong somewhere and we all vie for a position, and then suddenly you start inflicting pain on someone, you have a power over them. And then that makes you, in some way, feel better about yourself because you're a position of power.
Yeah.
But, do you mind me asking, did you leave school? Did you being bullied affect you in school?
Yeah, I didn't go into school. Like, I missed probably 4 days a week. Yeah. I was in 1.5 days a week because, you know, it's not even... That's what it is. Like, when I got into fights every day in school, and I only had 4 physical fights, and I got to spend 4 different times for being in a physical fight, but that was easier than actually someone slagging you constantly every day of the week. They'd have something bad to say about you, it's not that way. Mm-hmm. And you do for you, like, you do actually think, you like, it's like you're putting it into the back of your mind, and even though you're not trying to think about it, you still think about, oh well, maybe I am ugly, or maybe I am just a little fool or whatever, it's not that way. So,
and it's that self-worth cycle, Shannon. If you tell someone something,
they're going to think like
they
it's
start to believe it. Yeah, you know. I think as well, it's more difficult for young people now as well with all the social media and Facebook and texting and all the bullying that can be done online as well. You know, so you may leave school and be in the safety and comfort of your own bedroom and flick on your Facebook, and suddenly someone's having a go at you or threatening you. Or so you can't leave it behind.
Thanks, John. It's scary how the internet can give a bully unlimited access to a victim. Next up, we sent Dylan and Shannon to the streets of Dublin to ask people about bullying.
Have you ever been affected by bullying?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, how? I just used to get bullied in school and now when I was younger. Why? I don't know, just got jealous, I say.
I was bullied up until 3rd year.
How come?
I don't know, like, I wouldn't say there was anything wrong with me that was, like, that you were able to pick something about, but, like, there was just one girl who didn't like me and just decided she'd make my life hell.
Have you ever bullied someone?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
For what reason?
Because I used to think I was going around mad enough.
Is bullying a normal part of growing up?
It shouldn't be, but it is.
Why do you think it is?
Because people haven't grown up right.
Yeah, it kind of is, actually.
Why do you think that?
Because everyone has to deal with it at some stage, like whether you're 2 or 20, everyone does deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. Why do you think that?
Because everyone bullies someone at one stage. They'll think they're mad with their friends.
What type of person do you think doesn't get bullied?
One who bullies others.
Do you think you've ever bullied someone?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so.
Not a problem. What are 3 things that you think make people become bullies?
Think they're in the crowd, you think they're mad, think they're the business walking around the school.
A lack of self-confidence, being bullied themselves.
Lack of self-confidence.
Yeah.
It's kind of like trying to make yourself look bigger by making someone feel really small.
That's the only real reason for it. Like, yeah. You can't say that you just do it for the crack, because there's really no crack in it for anyone.
All right, thanks very much.
Tying in with the theme of bullying, I chose a song that voices how I feel about the subject. This song is about being angry at being placed on the sidelines and how what we wear and what we listen to can be a source of societal contempt for those of us that are different. This is what I think bullies target, individuality, and this song expresses how I feel about how some people are treated. This is Seeing Red by Minor Threat. We'll now rejoin our panel and discuss who a person feeling bullied can approach to seek help.
Real outgoing and kind of like not like obviously like 18, but somebody that's young enough.
Yeah.
So they I think kind like of somebody understand. That's just real bubbly and happy out there, just sitting there like, what's wrong with you? Like somebody's actually like, you know,
somebody that that's likes so happy their job. You think they're clinically insane.
No, not like big psycho happy, just like no bubbly, like you know, it's like
but not too happy.
Yeah, not like too happy. Yeah. Just
happy to do their job and they're actually somebody who's actually interested and not just listened to because it's their job.
Yeah.
And somebody who you can relate to, I suppose.
And like I think you better for a girl's school to have a girl to talk to.
Okay.
Like I think the gender is kind of a problem, like because you won't exactly be keen on like spreading your feelings with a boy if you're a girl.
Mm.
You know what I mean, so I think like
maybe in a mixed school they should have both,
they should
you
have
know.
Yeah,
I think they should have both anyway. No matter if you're in a girl's school or not. I don't like talking to girls, like well nearly everyone knows that, like I just don't like girls.
Thanks.
Like so not in a bad way. Like I don't mind sitting down and have a conversation. Like oh, I have 4 sisters and 7 aunties, like in that way, so I have to like girls. But I mean, if I wouldn't like to sit down and just have a conversation with someone a young one, they wreck me. So I'd rather just talk to a bloke, like, yeah, just what the story is, talk to me.
I think some of the disappointments that a lot of students feel with their guidance counsellor or the teacher when you go through that situation of approaching them with a problem and they don't really do anything, it's about your expectations. They were never really discussed. The teacher has never said before, you can come to me with these problems and I can do this, this and this.
Yeah.
They never say that. So you think, you might come to them and think, they're going to save my life here. They're going to change my whole world. But because you haven't really talked about that expectation, you know, it's a bit unrealistic because it does turn out then the teacher, because of whatever legal constraints, can only do this one thing, and that it wasn't good enough for you, and you tend to have a bad resentment then towards the teachers or the principal because of that. Really, they're trying their best, but now you would be going around and saying that principal's a dope or that teacher's an idiot and they never helped me. But it's all about agreeing a set of expectations beforehand. I do think from what we said earlier that all teachers should get extensive training in dealing with these things, and that might mean that at the start of every school year you sit down with the teacher and everybody and have a yap and say, if there's bullying I can do this, this and this.
Exactly, you know. I think because there was the Children's Ombudsman, she did a kind of a consultation with 300 young people around the country, and she said that she found that the 300 young people said that that was one thing that was missing from schools, was that at the start of the year that the law was laid down by the principal and like expectations were made of the students and expectations were made of the teachers, and that if you were found to be bullying that this is what would happen. But also not even just that, kind of it was explained, look, this is the impact and the effects that bullying can have. So it was a really kind of a good thing to do at the start of the year. And then the other thing that they said was that, I don't know, would you guys agree, but that it would be a situation that if somebody is found to be a bully, that they wouldn't be just expelled or suspended, that they'd be made to go to a workshop or do something
kind of thing.
What do you think about that?
I think that's actually a good idea, because like, if you get bullied and then like say your punishment would probably be suspended, and then if you go to a workshop, it would probably be better and you're like, right, I'm about to do this to that person. And then once you go back, you probably like just not be completely like, oh, I'm not never going to be a bully again. But you're about understanding what you're actually doing to someone.
It should be up to the person who's being bullied whether they want to go to this same one. Yeah. But I think they should both have the choice to go.
I'd get them charged. Like, there's some people that are like out there and they're getting bullied that much that they're like, they actually, they have to take medication off for the rest of life because they're psychologically like
unbalanced.
And if it's not a way, like, and you're like, you've think about that for the rest of your life, no matter what happens, you know, right? Yeah. Like,
Niamh and Hannah talked to Mick Farron from Sphere 17. Over to you, Niamh.
Hey, Mick.
Hey, how are you?
What is Sphere 17's approach to bullying?
Well, bullying is probably one of the more concerning issues at the moment. It's in the news a lot. There's been a couple of tragedies that have been linked to bullying, particularly cyberbullying, and it's something that we're trying to do our best to work with young people who come into the centre about. And perhaps the best thing we can do is to get young people talking about it and maybe come up with some suggestions or ideas about how to keep themselves safe. I guess the other thing is we try to encourage young people to recognise that this is a safe place and there really isn't going to be any tolerance for people who are bullying other people because we can't keep it safe if that's going to happen.
All right, thanks. If a young person is getting bullied, what do you think they should do about it?
It's difficult when you're getting bullied because you often feel a little bit isolated and a little bit vulnerable and a bit on your own. But we would probably try and encourage a young person to think of somebody who they would be comfortable talking to. Sometimes that's a pal, sometimes that's a brother or sister or a parent or teacher or indeed a youth worker. It's not a nice experience, but it's made all the more difficult if you don't feel there's anyone you can talk to about it. So we would encourage somebody to talk, and that's the first step. And generally, that can make it a little bit easier, and from there, together with somebody, you might try and figure out what's the best way of dealing with it.
All right, thanks very much for talking to us.
No problem, thank you.
We now return to the panel, where we're discussing why some people turn to bullying and how to prevent this from happening.
Well, the way I see it, a bully is just someone that's insecure about themselves. That's why they're taking out on other people. So it comes down to like who you're hanging around with, the way you're at been brought up, and like your surroundings, you get me?
Yeah.
Like if you're comping yourself and you like say like if you actually study hard, someone might actually
But that goes back to what Mark was saying there, kind of about that being inside and what Shannon was saying earlier about that being in the bully. So how do you tackle that in the bully?
There's less bullies usually than the bullied, if you know what I mean.
Well, bullies sometimes don't even realise that they're bullying.
Exactly, So like the table seems to be in agreement that suspension and expulsion isn't really the answer.
It's not effective. They just come back and just keep bullying, and then maybe they keep going at it later in life and where they work. Say if a bully ends up as somebody who was a bully and who never had any repercussions from it, or somebody who was bullied and was, you know, really damaged by it and wanted to take it out on other people, say what if they became a guard or something like that, you know, and
that they have
authority and power. I mean, it can be dangerous as well much later in life,
though. But the real cause of all these things though is the fact that everybody is different, and a lot of differences might scare other people, and out of fear can come violence. Okay, so you got this cycle of ignorance, of fear, and of violence. So if we can go back to the start of that sort of triangle of stuff there, and if we can get rid of this ignorance, so if we all knew more about each other, we'd be less likely to have any resentments and less likely to be in sort of doing bullying type things to them. So maybe that's something the school should look at.
Well, thanks everyone anyway, so we'll wrap it up here.
Thank you.
Well,
thanks.
There have been some interesting points brought up so far in the show, and it's plain to see how bullying can have an effect on a person's life. It may be comforting to know that there are resources available to aid and inform people about bullying. Among those is spunout.ie, a website which provides such information. We spoke to Ian Power from the website about what they do.
The way we're set up is that we're a website, so young people and teenagers kind of write into us and they ask, can they write articles? And also then they comment on other articles that are already up there, or they go on and they kind of get information about different health things, so like sex, alcohol, drugs.
And how often do you make like new articles?
Every day. We post 3 new articles every day. So there's thousands and thousands of articles on the website now because we've been going for 6 years now.
Do you know, like, if someone actually wants to talk to one of your co-workers or something, would they be able to email you? Or
yeah, so our emails are all on the website, so we all do different things. So Marie on our team is the editor, so if you want to write for the site, you email her generally. Then we've got John. So John does all our offline stuff, so he goes out into schools and he does workshops and he does engagement projects with young people. So if you've got a question about that or you want to get involved with that, you can email him. I get emailed the least probably because my job is like PR and communications and stuff. But every so often we'll have opportunities that I will need young people to email me about and to sign up for and stuff like that. So
and like, how is all that funded? Like the workshops and the school visits and everything?
Cool. So we're funded by the HSE for all our health information. So and they check it as well to make sure it's right. So when you come onto our website and you read something about...
it's already checked.
Exactly. So you know that it's true, which is really important because you know yourselves from logging on to the internet. Like a lot of the information could be can be a little bit sketchy and it might not necessarily...
Yeah, you'll type in symptoms and they'll tell you have cancer.
Exactly. So we try to avoid that. And we avoid it by getting the HSE to check all our stuff before we do it. And the other half of us is funded by a billionaire philanthropist. So he gives us the other half of the money. But that's ending next year. That's so good. We're going to be stuck for cash if you know anybody with a few bob.
Like, you have people contacting you. Are they qualified or...?
I'm not qualified, but the others are. So they all have kind of degrees in different things. So, I mean, Marie has degrees in journalism and social care and stuff like that. So she's got that. And John has a degree as well. And he used to be a social worker with the ISVCC. So they have a lot of training in child protection on how to deal with different things.
What topics do you deal with on the website?
We deal with... everything really, like anything that you think would affect a teenager's life. So
is it just for teenagers?
It's for kind of 16 to 25s. So like we deal with everything, like from relationships, mental health, through to education and then employment afterwards. So when you're finished college or whatever and you're looking for a job, we give CV tips and stuff like that. It's quite a broad range of stuff, and I suppose the reason why it's so broad is because it's young people that give us our information. They're the people who write the articles for us, you know, so that's probably why it's so broad.
When people contact your website, do you get like mostly bullying now over the fact that all the suicides are happening?
Yeah, so that's been a big thing, is that we've had a lot of people coming on to our website, and it's probably been a lot of adults really, to be honest, because the stuff around bullying has been on our site for ages, you know. It's been on for years. It's been regularly checked by young people. But I think the interest, I mean, you know yourselves, and I know that bullying's always been there, and particularly cyberbullying, we've kind of grown up with it. So I think it's more of a shock to the adults and the parents rather than us. There are certainly more young people coming on and checking out what they can do and how they can tackle bullying themselves. And, you know, one of the most important things, obviously, is not being a bystander. We're predominantly a young people's website, so we try not to do a whole lot of parental stuff because otherwise we'd be inundated, you know. But more so, rather than parents, what we get is we get concerned teachers. So teachers who really care. And they ring us regularly and they ask us what we can give them to help their students and to help their young people. We do get parents from time to time give us a buzz, but...
Do you have like a number?
We have an office number just regularly for us, but we're not actually like a helpline. So some people kind of think that we are, but actually we're just an online space that's available. We're not there after five, you know? So, I mean, we are most days, but we're not there as a something that you can call. But what we do have on our website is a find help directory. So you can go on and you can log in and... there's a little kind of search bar up in the top right hand corner, and if you have something that you want to kind of get checked out, so you want to talk to somebody, so you might be looking for a counsellor, you can type that into the box and it'll give you a list of people you can call. Or if it's something to do with body image or something, you can, anything like that, you can all type in all those kind of things and you get the relevant service closest to you. It's going to be different for everybody because everybody's going to follow their own path, and that's kind of the way it is with life generally. So we can only kind of give people inspiration and maybe some tips in order to go out there and make their own change for themselves, you know.
So that concludes this episode of Story. We've bashed the bully and hopefully raised some awareness on the issue. Bullying affects everyone, youth and adults alike, so be vigilant. If you need more information, check out spunout.ie. That's all for today. We'd like to thank Ian, Mick and Mark for coming in to chat with us, Tara for being awesome, and Blades for being bearable. And of course, our fine production team, Dylan, Shannon, Hannah, Niamh, Twiggy.
And
Ian, woohoo! Yay, thank you.
This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.